Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever been out, maybe to like a club or a bar, and I mean, the night was just going great. The music was right. The drinks were flowing. There's a lot of attractive people in there. And then the DJ just like switched up the vibe, you know? That's how Rob would be if Rob was the DJ. Like, I let Rob play Christmas music just to kind of get the show into a good energy and turn it up, Rob. Like, this is the Christmas. You could have picked any Christmas song in the world. This is what you picked for our
Pete
sports
Sweeney
talk show.
Pete Sweeney, this is his favorite song.
This is the song you picked?
This is Pete's jam.
Pete ain't here. All right, Rob. You know what? This really gives me fire to talk football here with you. I'm just jazzed to do so. Thanks, friend. All right, you know what? I am in a positive mood today. You can't, like, be negative. I can't, like, criticize the offense after, like, I have to be positive after hearing that. I don't know if this week any of us have talked enough about the defense and what they've done. I put myself in this category. I don't know if any of us have spent enough time talking about their defense and what they've been able to do in a six-week span. So, you know how earlier this week we did the last 50 possessions for the offense and told you how it's been sputtering to some extent? Their defense is almost on the exact opposite end of the spectrum. These are the last 50 possessions for the Chiefs defense if you take out kneels. They have forced 23 punts in their last 50 possessions. 15 of those punts were preceded by a three and out. So 15 three and outs and 23 punts. That's pretty stifling what they've been able to do. They have five turnover on down, so they've been able to get off of the field based to a fourth and short stop. They have forced nine turnovers and only six touchdowns in their last 50 defensive possessions. That's pretty remarkable, especially when you hold it up against the lens of what they were doing their first 50 possessions this season. You remember when they couldn't get stops in the red zone early on? Teams scored their first 11 times they got in the red zone, they scored a touchdown. So they went from 100% to where I think they showed it on Sunday Night Football. It's like 30% now. We have seen an improvement in almost every single area and aspect of their defense over the last 6 weeks. And it got me thinking, if I had to ask, what's the number one reason they fixed their defense around? And I had to use it in a very narrow sense, like not just, oh, well, their pass rush is better. I think it's Frank Clark. I think Frank Clark, Rob, is the X factor to everything they've done defensively. I don't think it's Chris Jones moving to the inside. Now, I think Chris Jones getting healthy has been a major push, but I think that for the most part, fans sort of oversold where Chris Jones lines up. He appears to just be a healthier player than he was weeks four through six, and then when he got out and missed the time. Like, he appears to be fully healthy now, and I think that's made a drastic difference. Jaron Reed appears to be better and closer to what we thought he was going to be. I still think he's been a general disappointment this season, but he's closer to what we thought he was going to be, certainly than he was the first 6 weeks of the season, where he didn't have an impact on the game. I think the biggest change that they've made defensively is This is the best version of Frank Clark they've gotten outside of those three games in the playoffs. You and I actually, I think, agree on this, Rob. I think those three games in the postseason are a little bit of a mirage. A little bit of a mirage. I don't think what we're seeing, at least now, is a mirage. Now, is this something I would bet on again next year and sign myself up for $20 million? I don't feel that way about it. But we always talk about contract year being undefeated. Rest in peace to Therese Paylor. Frank Clark is playing like a player who is in a contract year. He's playing like a player who understands financially how important the rest of this season is. And I'll admit, I laughed at it at the time. But you remember when Frank Clark did that press conference and he talked about how much he was dealing with off the field and how that had an effect on the early part of his season and now that stuff was behind him? If we find the exact date of that press conference and look at before and after, he was right. He was telling the truth. I don't know what was going on in Frank Clark's personal life. I don't know how much of it is things that we don't know. I don't know how much of it is dealing with the gun charge that he himself caused. But he wasn't lying. He wasn't telling a fib. Ever since he stood in front of the media and talked about the things that were going on off the field and how he was putting those things behind them and he was in a clear headspace, he has played the best football that he has for this team. I kept saying it for the first 5 weeks of the season, that unlocking the pass rush and unlocking him was their key to figuring it out defensively. It's not a surprise that they won the Super Bowl when they got the best version of Frank Clark. It's not a surprise to me that their defense is playing at an elite level when they finally have an elite type edge rusher on his side of the field. I don't want to sell like they have TJ Watt on their team or Myles Garrett on their team. But they have someone who has shown the ability to consistently get pressure and hurry the quarterback. And that's made all the difference with this team. Made all the difference. Their defensive line is the biggest change from the first 6 weeks of the season. Whether it's Frank Clark getting healthy and playing better, the addition of Jaren Reed. I'm calling it the addition of Jaren Reed because he wasn't there for the first 6 weeks of the season. Chris Jones now healthy and playing like a first team, second team All-Pro defensive lineman, and the addition of Melvin Ingram. The first 6 weeks of the season, I would say that all of their defensive linemen, their starting defensive linemen, like Mike Dana was playing at a high level, were playing below expectations. All four of those guys now are exceeding or playing to expectations, and that's made all the difference. So if I had to pinpoint one reason on why their defense has drastically turned, I think it's Frank Clark. I think Frank Clark is the key to a lot of the things that they do defensively. And it's not that surprising to me when this team has had its best and most consistent success defensively, a lot of it has been predicated on Frank Clark playing the best football of his career. So that's hit number one. I'm sure we got more, Rob.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Well, as always, the hits are brought to you by our friends at Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair since 1967. Well, earlier today, Carrington, you called an audible and you changed the lead of the show last minute. But according to Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com, he does his weekly quarterback power index. He has one and only Patrick Mahomes behind Joe Burrow, but only one spot ahead of the flavor of the month, Mac Jones. Carrington, is Greg Rosenthal right and Mahomes like the 13th best quarterback in the NFL, or is this disrespectful to the former MVP?
There's 11 quarterbacks you would take over Patrick Mahomes. People think that? You're telling me tomorrow, if you had a game, you would take Derek Carr in the game over Patrick Mahomes? You would do that, Rob? You're telling me tomorrow, if you had a must-win football game, you would take Kirk Cousins over Patrick Mahomes? You would do that? That makes sense to you? You would take Matthew Stafford in the game over Patrick Mahomes? You would do that? You would feel good about that decision? No, it's silly. What are we doing here? The bar has gotten so ridiculously high for Patrick Mahomes. Honestly, the only other American male athlete we treat like this is LeBron James. You remember when LeBron would like score 27, have 9 rebounds and 8 assists? And we'd be like, LeBron needs to do more. What? What are you talking about? Did you see what he did? Why are we mad at LeBron and we're not mad at J.R. Smith for not knowing the score? Why? How are you mad at LeBron James and you're letting Jordan Clarkson just fly under the radar? We're doing that to some extent for Patrick Mahomes. How many of Patrick Mahomes' interceptions are because of him? 6? I'm not saying he's been a top 3 quarterback in the league, but there's a lot of numbers between 3 and 12 where this list has him at. Mahomes has set the bar so high that completing 65% of your passes, throwing for 4,600 yards, throwing over 30 touchdown passes, has now been deemed a major regression, and you are broken. That's crazy when you think about it. That's the bar that you've set. Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. 2.
Earlier today, Emmanuel Acho was on his show on Fox Sports 1, and he was saying he has some complaints with the Georgia Bulldogs being in the college football playoff.
See, the reason that Georgia made the playoffs is because we thought Georgia was great. But why did we think Georgia was great? Because of SEC bias. You see, Georgia beat Arkansas when Arkansas was ranked number 8. But by the end of the season, Arkansas had 4 losses at 8-4. They're not in the top 20. Georgia beat Kentucky when Kentucky was ranked number 11. But by the end of the season, Kentucky had 3 losses. They're not in the top 20. Georgia beat Auburn when Auburn was ranked number 18. But by the end of the season, Auburn had 6 losses, 6-6. They not even ranked. So is Georgia one of the 4 best teams in college football? Maybe. But we were going to believe so. Either way.
Carrington, is Acho right? Is Georgia actually a paper tiger and gets an SEC kiss, or are they deserving of being in the college football playoff?
We're overreacting now to losing to Alabama. They lost to Alabama, right? Maybe the greatest dynasty in modern college football. This is the thing, though. I do think there's a hint of merit to what Emmanuel Acho is saying. Do we as college football fans give a kiss to teams in the SEC? Sure. I think we do that, though, teams 4-10. Is Kentucky maybe a little bit overvalued in college football because they play in the SEC? Sure. Is Ole Miss probably a little bit overrated because they play in the SEC, or Arkansas? But if you are a fan of college football, I'll ask you this question. Tomorrow, if Georgia and Notre Dame played a game at Arrowhead, who wins? What's the score of that game in your opinion? Because I've seen enough Notre Dame in this spot to know they're getting the beats in this situation. If Georgia played Oklahoma in this game, who wins? Oklahoma or Georgia? So I think Oklahoma gets beat by 3 touchdowns in this scenario. So on one side, Rob, I agree with them. We probably give a little bit too much credit to the 5th best team in the SEC. I don't think we give too much credit to the 1st or the 2nd best team in the SEC, because whoever the 2nd best team in the SEC pretty consistently would win your conference rather easily due to coaching, resources, recruiting, all of it. So I don't think that we've overrated Georgia. Who do we think that Georgia would lose to on a neutral site? Tomorrow, if they played Oklahoma State, you'd pick the Cowboys to win that game? I think the Cowboys get beat pretty handily and get embarrassed in that game. If anything, I think it goes to show us that we underestimated Alabama in this situation more than have overvalued Georgia. And Alabama right now is in the midst of the most impressive run in the history of college football. In a game of parity, and there are more good football players than have ever been before, one team is clearly better than everybody else, and that's Alabama. But I don't think it says anything about Georgia, though.
Three. Well, Carrington, as you know, last night the University of Kansas Jayhawks played at T-Mobile Center and they handled UTEP very easily. After the game, Bill Self was asked about the upcoming matchup, the Border War with Mizzou.
It's the best game on our schedule. You talk about Kentucky or Baylor or Texas or this one. This is the best game on our schedule. And at least from a fan participation and from a player participation. You know, we have played them in 9 years. And back when we did play them, it was the best game on our schedule.
Carrington, do you agree with Coach Self? This is the best game on the schedule. And has your excitement reached a 10 yet?
I know it's all fun and games for you, Rob, but this really angers me. It really, really angers me that this happens. I've been saying this stuff for 8 years, and I get laughed at every time I said it. Now Bill says it, and just no one, we're not going to call him on it. After for the last 7 years, he told us the exact opposite. After for the last 7 years, his little KU minions have just spouted whatever nonsense he's told them to say. Rob, you're a part of this cult too. For the last decade, all KU fans have tried to do is tell us how you hated Missouri, how you weren't keeping up with them, how you never watched them. There was no benefit to playing Missouri. It didn't help Kansas. You didn't care. And now it's $150 a ticket to go to the game. Now kids are sleeping outside to be able to be in Allen Fieldhouse. And the coach is calling it the best game on their schedule. And yeah, they host Kentucky. They host the defending national champion this year. They play Texas, who's probably going to be what? A 1, 2, or 3 seed in the tournament? This is all right with you guys? You guys cool with this? Rob, I want to hear you speak up for your fellow KU minions.
I mean, Self made a lot of good points the last 10 years.
No, he's making terrible points.
Playing Missouri wouldn't have benefited Kansas.
Yeah, it wasn't, of course.
This year, it also hurt their net rating, so you never know what's going to happen seating-wise because of the net. But he's right. It's going to be the best game on the schedule.
I hate college basketball. I really hate it.
You only hate it because your team stinks.
I hate it because it's not very fun. It's not very enjoyable. It stinks.
We're saying the same thing.
Stinks. All of it stinks.
I don't know. I loved last night.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you loved the Glory Road Invitational at T-Mobile Center. It was fantastic. How many people were at the game? 8,000 people?
And Kansas basketball was playing. Come on, Al.
They had a small gathering of people yesterday. It was terrible. I'm sure it was.
It was basically a bona fide scrimmage before another.
Yeah, it definitely was a scrimmage.
Bona fide scrimmage on Saturday.
What's the line going to be whenever we get to see this? KU what? Minus like 19 and a half?
20 plus.
I'd be surprised if it's more than 25 and a half.
The more fun question would be, what would the number have to be for you to bet Mizzou?
I don't have any interest in doing that because then I'm going to be mad twice. Like, I'm not, come on now. Like, I'm not signing up to be upset. I'm already going to be upset. I'm already going to turn on a game knowing my team has a 0% chance of winning. And they're going to score 17 points in the first half. Like, now I'm going to do that and lose money. I might as well go to the game. If I'm going to do that, I might as well just spend the money to go to the game. Might as well just pay it. If I'm gonna do that. Someone said, CDOT, just hold your L. I mean, I know they're going to lose. I'm just simply pointing out that for a decade, you guys have told us one thing, and now this week have gone back on everything you've told us. You guys know Bill Self said he is excited to play Missouri today. That came out of Bill Self's mouth. I am excited to play Missouri, and this is the best game on our schedule. A schedule that included Michigan State, the defending national champion, and Kentucky. Man, been lying to us for a decade, and y'all was defending them. Defending it. Little old me was here, though, pushing along. The little engine that could.
So you happy or mad that Jeff Long made this happen? Are you happy? Because
happy. This is the best for everybody.
Or are you sad because you're going to get thumped?
I mean, they were getting thumped before when they were in the same conference. I mean, that isn't losing to Kansas, that this just has a no effect on my life. I mean, I've seen them lose to Kansas so much. This is just another Saturday. Like this is normal. I mean, this is actually good practice for the rest of the season. They're going to lose a lot of Saturdays. They're going to lose basically every Saturday. Right? They're going to lose a lot. If there's one thing I've grown accustomed to, it's MU losing on Saturdays, both in the fall and the winter. I mean, I've gone pretty accustomed to it. I'm fine. I'll be great. I'll be fine. You listen to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. It is pretty funny, Rob, getting back to the Chiefs. It is really funny how the roles have sort of reversed right now for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Like in the early part of the season, we had all the questions about the defense, and there were reasons to have very serious questions about the defense. And now I would say the number one question facing the Kansas City Chiefs is regarding their offense and your trust and confidence that they can turn things around. I think that is the number one conversation with this team. Like right now on the defense, I don't know what realistically you could be questioning. Their D-line is playing fantastic. They've got two great young linebackers that you feel really strongly about. I really like their cornerback group. Like, I get called corner dot, but I don't know how you can deny what you've seen from Ward, Fenton, and Snead. They've played at a great level. Like, we got to start talking about them paying Charvarius Ward here this offseason. Fenton's getting really close to needing a new contract. Like, these guys have played at a good enough level that I think you reward those guys. And it's not going to cost you a super big bag to pay Rashad Fenton. But for a guy who hasn't really touched real money in a sixth-round pick, and now he can get a new contract, if you've been making $9.25 an hour, getting that raise to $15 is a huge deal in terms of your quality of life. That's what they can do for Rashad Fenton and Charvarius Ward this offseason. So those are some of the lesser moves that they can do. But the number one question is surrounding their offense right now. And maybe this is just my Mahomes blinders. And I can acknowledge that. But I have way more questions for Andy Reid right now than I have for their quarterback. Andy Reid is the guy with the track record of maximizing the talent on their offense. And Rob, out of their skill position players, aside from the two that everybody likes, who do you think they've gotten the most out of? Who do you think they've gotten the most out of that player's ability? We're talking about college basketball, right? You know what I really love about Kansas? Is I think Bill has a very special ability to take a kid from game one and transform their role over the course of the season. I think Bill is one of the best player developers in all of college basketball. That if you stay at Kansas for a couple of years, I can turn you into an NBA player. Ochai Agbaji was a two-star kid out of Oak Park High School and has a chance to be a first-round draft pick. A lot of that is your own hard work. A lot of that is playing for Bill Self and playing at Kansas, which is a great recruiting tool. I think we've seen Andy get the most out of so many offensive players. They've had 6 years of DeMarcus Robinson. They're not getting the most out of DeMarcus Robinson right now. Mecole Hardman was a top 60 pick. They don't have a role for him at this point. The last time Josh Gordon was in the NFL, he had some role. Josh Gordon has 6 targets this season and has touched the ball twice in 2.5 months. They drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he was the top pass-catching back in college football. He has 15 targets this year. So we are in a very weird spot with Kansas City where, as of now, I think you feel really good about the defense and believe that their defense can continue to play at a championship level. And now you're asking the offense to turn things around the final 5 weeks of the season and match where the defense is. They're 13th. Offensively right now. They're close to middle of the pack. I never thought I'd say that about a team that has prime Mahomes, Hill, Kelce, and Andy Reid. You should be closer to third than you are 16th. And that's where the Kansas City Chiefs currently sit offensively. And it's go time. You got 5 weeks to really start to figure this thing out and really start to play with some momentum heading into the postseason. Coming up on the other side, there is one dirty secret about the AFC that nobody wants to talk about. I'll tell you what that is next. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Okay, Rob, I don't think we've had this conversation before, and if we have, I apologize, and you can correct me, and we can move on from this. The top text on the text line is, do you think the problem right now is Eric Bieniemy? This is where I think Chiefs fans have to be a little honest here. Whenever things are going really well for the offense, it's because of Andy, and Eric Bieniemy has nothing to do with it. Like, remember when we were talking about Eric Bieniemy should get a job? And it was he's not getting a job because he's not calling the plays. He doesn't do anything. Now that things aren't going so hot for the Chiefs offense, Bieniemy's at the center of it. Which one is it, Rob? It's got to be one of the two. So either when the offense was performing really well, Bieniemy was a big reason, a major part of why their offense was doing well, or it's just always been Andy. It can't be both, though. It can't be whenever the offense was cooking, Bieniemy was just hanging out, and now that their offense isn't playing so hot, Bieniemy's now just designing all of these plays, and Andy's just sitting there hanging out. Which one is it? It's got to be one of the two here.
I mean, Eric Bieniemy has become in a weird way the backup quarterback for the Chiefs. When the starter's not playing well in a backup quarterback syndrome, when the starter's not playing well, when the offense is looking good in this case, he's the blame. He takes the L. Oh, Bieniemy stinks. Da da da. When the offense is humming, hey, Bieniemy is being interviewed for the Giants job. Well, why? He stinks. He doesn't call the plays. I'm also, if we're going to talk about things that I'm annoyed with, can we please get rid of the theory that the Chiefs are sandbagging the offense to hold something back? I hate that. It's the dumbest concept ever. Mitchell Schwartz was on yesterday. He said, no, that's not a thing that happens in the NFL. But fans on the text line continue to tell me, oh, they're sandbagging for the playoffs. So the Bieniemy conspiracy and the sandbagging conspiracy can both go away for all I care.
Someone says you're twisting. We all said he should get a job because he was good. Some of you said that. I don't know if everybody said that, but that is how we've treated Bieniemy for the last 3 years. Bieniemy doesn't get a whole lot of credit for the development of Patrick Mahomes, and I would say it's unclear who calls the plays for the team. I think Eric Bieniemy calls the plays for the Chiefs. I think he's been calling the plays for the Chiefs for some time now. I think that he and Andy are really involved in the game planning aspect of it. But I think on a play-by-play, moment-to-moment situation, I think Bieniemy is the one that is making the final call. That's how I think it works. I could be wrong, and I don't know if we'll ever get 100% clarity on it, but I think at this point with Reed, I think Reed kind of operates more like the CEO and the overseer of everything than sort of the micromanager of one situation. That's what I think. I don't think that Andy is calling 100% of their offensive plays. I think he's very involved in the offensive game plan, but I don't think that he is calling the plays for the team. I do think that's Eric Bieniemy.
I agree. I don't think you see little, I don't want to say spats or blow-ups because it's neither of those things. Little kerfuffles, I guess is a term, between Mahomes and Bieniemy if Bieniemy wasn't calling the plays. I don't think there'd be any friction there because what's the matter? I think Bieniemy's clearly calling the plays because you see that level of, I don't say frustration, but he goes the play caller with that. That's why I agree with you. I think we have some evidence to prove that.
Text line 913-576-7610. I feel like you think the text line is all one person. I don't think that. I most of the time just play it by what's the consensus. What's the consensus? And I think if you asked last year, so last offseason, what's the biggest reason that you don't think that Eric Bieniemy got a job? I think the number one answer would have been he doesn't call the plays for the team. Right? If you polled 500 Chiefs fans and say, why do you think Eric Bieniemy didn't get hired? I think that's the number one answer on the board, like Family Feud. The number one answer is he does not call the plays for the team, and teams think it's all Andy, and that's why they didn't hire him. And that's fine. It's a fine reason to believe. But now that things aren't going so hot, we can't just now put it all on Bieniemy and just leave Reed. Like, what is Reed doing there? He's doing something. It's got to be part of it in some way. I will say this, though, about the Chiefs. I do think that we have sort of oversold the competition in the AFC. This is how, Rob. Think of it like college basketball. There's a lot of teams that could make the Sweet 16, right? Like, I know it's early in the season, but we've seen enough NCAA tournaments to know that in the group of 68 teams that make the tournament, how many do you think have a realistic chance of making the Sweet 16? Like 40 of them, probably? It's like 40 teams that have a chance to make the Sweet 16. Some 10s, some 11s. There's about 40 teams. How many teams do you think have a chance to go to the Final Four? How many teams do you think have a chance to play for the national championship? Is a much different conversation and list. Obviously a much shorter list. I think we're doing a very similar thing in the AFC. Sure, there are a lot of really good competitive teams in the AFC right now. Cleveland is over 500. Cleveland could make the playoffs. Cleveland could beat a team in the postseason. I won't argue that. Does anybody think Cleveland can win the Super Bowl? Does anybody think Cleveland can go to the Super Bowl? I think the answer is no. So sure, on any given Sunday, anything can happen in the AFC. Miami is not a good football team, right? You feel that way, Rob? They're 6-7. They're 6-7. There is a one-game difference between the Dolphins and the Colts, and the Colts are playing great right now. The Dolphins are improving, but that's just how competitive the AFC is. So sure, anything can happen on any given Sunday, but we are a month away from the end of the regular season. The NFL regular season ends January 9th. We're a month away. I'm not interested, per se, in who could maybe steal a game in the playoffs. It's who do you think can go to Los Angeles? Who do you think on February 13th can play for the Super Bowl? We're at that point in the season. And I think in the AFC, it's only three teams. I think it's Kansas City, I think it's New England, and I think it's Buffalo. I don't think it's Tennessee. A, I don't think their quarterback's good enough. B, they don't have their best offensive player. C, they don't have their number one or number two wide receiver. And D, they don't have their best defensive player. There's a scenario you see a team like that winning three consecutive playoff games. I don't see it. I like Baltimore. Baltimore doesn't have its three top running backs from the offseason. They're counting on the health of Sammy Watkins for the next 8 weeks, which, knock on wood, has not been a great strategy to do. And they don't have their number one or number two corner from the offseason. That's a team that's really banged up that I think is sort of holding on by a thread. No on Los Angeles and winning three straight playoff games. No on Cincinnati. Hell no on Pittsburgh winning three straight playoff games. You got to ask yourself, which one of these teams or how many of these teams do you think could win three straight games against playoff teams? And I think it's only three in the AFC. I think it's Kansas City, New England, and Buffalo. I think Buffalo still has time to figure it out. And I trust their roster and quarterback more than I trust those other teams. Kansas City, I think you can argue right now Kansas City has the best defense in the AFC outside of New England with how they've played over the last month, month and a half. And I don't think the 19.6 is exactly who the Chiefs' offense is. Now, I don't know if they're hanging 30 on people anymore, but 19.6, averaging that over a 10-week sample is just really bad offensively. I do think they'll turn things around just a little bit, and we got to figure out what the ceiling is for this offense now moving forward with the adjustments the defenses have made. But I think we're sort of overselling how competitive the AFC is. There's only three teams that realistically can win this thing. Keep it locked in right here. I'll give you my extra point next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
All right, I have 2 points to make before we end the show. Rob, when do we start getting mad at people for telling the truth? Like, Aaron Rodgers today was asked if he regretted saying that He owns the Bears. And he was like, well, I mean, no, because we do. Like, look at the record. I'm 22-5 against them. What do I regret? At some point, what I said will be used against me, and that's just part of it. But I have no regrets for saying what I said, and obviously I think the record kind of speaks for itself. It does speak for itself. When did we start getting mad for people telling the truth, you know? Like, tomorrow, if Bill Self came out and said, I'm not worried about this game because we always beat Missouri, I'd be like, yeah, you do. Like, you make a lot of good points. I can't really argue it. Tomorrow, if Steve Spagnuolo said that they have a lot of success against Derek Carr, I don't know how the Raiders could be that mad about it. He's 3-12 against the Chiefs. They'd be like, yeah, no, you're right. Good point. When do we start getting mad at people for telling the truth? I don't know. The other point that I want to make, Rob, and I know this will come off as very anti-college basketball, but some of you really watch and follow the sport of college basketball, and I'm actually really looking forward to K-State versus Marquette today. I'm kind of interested in watching K-State play a really good opponent today. What do you think is the most interesting thing about college basketball on the court? I think the storyline of college basketball is the retirement of Coach K. I think that is the story of college basketball. It's not really heated up now because it's December, but wait until football is over. Wait until the last time they play North Carolina. Oh, you'll know. They will bring back every great Duke or North Carolina player to be at one of those two games. It will be a marquee college basketball event. It will be the most watched regular season college basketball game probably since the 90s, whenever they do that. It will be a major deal. What is it on the court, though, Rob? Like, right now, if somebody came up to you, and somebody who watches college basketball frequently, you probably watch it, what, 3-4 times a week? You watch a lot of college basketball, way more than the average college fan does. What would you say the most interesting thing this season is?
I think it's twofold. Gonzaga is really interesting to me because Chet Holmgren, and they brought back Drew Timmy. So one of the more interesting things is how Gonzaga will coalesce. But I think the biggest storyline in college basketball kind of is Gonzaga microcosm. All the transfers and how they're working at their individual schools. Like, K-State's a good example. Mark Smith's a Mizzou transfer. He's probably their best athlete on the team right now. He's playing really well. If he can come into his own and figure out the system, K-State has a chance to be pretty good this year. That's the biggest story, is how is transfer X playing at school Y?
If that's the most interesting thing that your sport has going on, your sport is terrible to watch.
I mean, the other thing is, can player X be an NBA prospect, which has always been a problem in college basketball?
Yeah. You're right.
Like, Paolo Banchero? Yeah, he looked great, but no one's watching those Duke games to be like, oh, I wonder how he plays at Duke. They're watching to wonder how he's going to play as a king.
Yeah, but I used to feel, at least not even like 5 or 6 years ago, I feel really weird to be like back in my day for college basketball guy, but it was just more than what it is right now. I don't know if you can encourage someone to watch college basketball right now. Like, if you were at the bar and someone was like, hey, what's going on in college basketball this year? I don't think you'd have a really good answer for them. If your answer is all the transfers, no thanks. I'm okay. Wake me up when February ends, and then I'll get into it. So it seems like a really big problem for a sport that we're all passionate about in various ways. Some of you love college basketball just more than I love college basketball. That's fine. But that seems like a problem for the sport that someone that you are a season ticket holder for a college basketball team and can't tell me what's interesting about the sport. That ain't good.
I mean, Dickie V's interesting, but he's a storyline. Yeah,
off the court.
Off
the court.
Off the court, it's ripe with stuff.
Nah, there's a lot of things happening around the sport. There ain't a lot of stuff happening inside the sport. That seems to be a problem with it.
To be fair, you could argue the NBA is kind of the same way until May.
I think there's more interesting stuff happening in the NBA. Like, if you ask me right now as an NBA fan, I would say it looks like Golden State could win a championship and they get Klay Thompson back in 3 weeks. Phoenix has continued right where they left off, and the Lakers continue to be really interesting.
I would say the Lakers interesting is a little bit more off the court because of the the chemistry stuff, but I would say the NBA's one of the problems the NBA has as an entity is that people love the offseason and the drama and the melodrama and all the tweeting and da-da-da-da. And the on-the-court takes a back seat until basically April.
No, I would agree with you. That
college,
is
college basketball is suffering a little bit from that same problem. People were interested this offseason on where player X and Y are going to go, the coaching changes, da-da-da. Now it's kind of, wake me in March.
I mean, on the text line, college basketball needs to go the way of college football, right, and not allow one-and-dones. It's not just the one-and-dones that are hurting college basketball. The transfers are hurting college basketball. How many kids come out every year that are legitimate one-and-dones? Five or six of them? Kansas didn't have any one-and-dones last year. It's a completely different team now. Like, Kansas didn't have any one-and-dones this year, and their team is drastically different than they were last year. That's what's really hurt college basketball. I don't know how, if you're a college basketball fan, you know who's on whose team right now. Like, we went through it. Like, you and I grew up where you and I could name all five starters on Duke, right? Name all five starters on Duke and probably their first two guys off the bench. We can name one guy on Duke now, and it's the guy who's going to be a top five pick in the draft. You can name anybody else on that team. Who's on Kentucky this year? Text line, not name a player on Kentucky's basketball team. You can't right now. You cannot name a player on Kentucky's basketball team unless you really follow the sport. I just don't know how that model you can sustain over the course of time. This doesn't seem like a very sustainable model for a sport that we all love. I know I take my shots at college basketball. I enjoy college basketball. I'm a fan of college basketball. I want the sport to be better, just like all of us. Tomorrow, we'll really start looking ahead to Chiefs and Raiders on Sunday. Thursday kind of starts go time because by the next Thursday, we will know exactly where the Chiefs sit 7 days from where we are. It's a really important 7-day stretch for the Kansas City Chiefs. Back again tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.